Less talk, more action. That's the simple but strong message emerging from the 17th International AIDS Conference taking place in Mexico City this week. The meeting brings together scientists and healthcare experts with government and business leaders, human rights activists, faith groups, and representatives of the HIV-positive communities in countries around the world. The conference, which opened on August the 3rd, was preceded by a three-day ecumenical forum focused on the theme Faith in Action Now, where Christian leaders and experts from local churches came together to share their experiences of combating stigma and providing quality care from a faith perspective.
A major theme of this pre-conference was confronting stigma and discrimination, first looking within the Christian communities and how we contribute to stigmatization of people living with HIV and AIDS, and also in society.
As president of the Lutheran World Federation, Bishop Mark Hansen attended the international conference as well as the ecumenical forum. He told me this meeting marked a significant shift in attitudes within the church, with many more religious people speaking directly of their experiences of HIV and AIDS.
Yes, and I think it's a very encouraging shift because 2 years ago, 4 years ago, we were talking about how do we just break the silence in religious communities, even talking about HIV and AIDS, and now to come to the point where people of faith and religious workers, even priests, ministers, can come forward and identify themselves as HIV positive, I think it's a broad, broad step.
What do you think this change, this improvement is due to largely?
Well, I think it's been a commitment of people of faith in a variety of communities, Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Anglican, the evangelicals, beginning to confront how we have contributed to stigmatization, which has made our communities of faith unsafe for people to come forward. And I think it's also that we have been relentlessly challenged by people living with HIV/AIDS to look at our discriminatory attitudes and actions.
You yourself began your presentation on stigmatization with a very dramatic act of humility and repentance, as you called it, didn't you? Tell us a bit more about that.
Well, I did. I was on a panel, and I followed immediately a woman who was living with HIV herself. She had told her story. It was a very moving story that included the difficulties and challenges she's experienced as a person of faith, feeling that she continues to be stigmatized in her religious community. And earlier in the morning, we'd heard another very moving story of an African woman who has lived with HIV and felt very excluded by Christian communities up until late. And those moving stories led me to believe, as a religious leader of 68 million Lutherans in the world, I needed to do something in an act of repentance and humility in response to their moving stories on behalf of churches that have contributed to their stigmatization. So I washed their feet. I think there are times when, as religious leaders, we need to do those kinds of acts that are carry more integrity than sometimes our words do. And I think it's important that we move as religious leaders and as people of faith from seeing those who live with HIV and AIDS as objects of our compassion and our care and our charitable works to seeing them as fellow members with us in the body of Christ, fellow believers, fellow pilgrims following the way of cross in our lives of faith. And I think sometimes it's going to take those kind of public acts to communicate that you are fully welcome among us as ones who belong with us to Jesus Christ.
I think we need to preach the good news as well as to recognize that sometimes some people within the Catholic Church and other churches have made mistakes and then try to correct those mistakes.
A key Catholic expert at both the Ecumenical Forum and the International Conference in Mexico is Father Bob Vitillo, Special Advisor on HIV and AIDS to the Caritas Internationalis Global Confederation.
The Catholic Church has been there from the beginning. We may not have done everything the most correct way. We may have had some Catholics who discriminate, but I think we do have to talk about what we've done positively, because that motivates others to do more, especially now as we need to scale up the kinds of programs that we have in order to reach more and more people and to get them the life-saving medications and also to help them learn to change their behavior so that they don't put themselves and others at risk for HIV.
How much do you think this work is seen sometimes as a charitable obligation rather than a real attempt to listen to the voices of those who are affected?
I think for some Christian groups, it is seen as a charitable obligation or a way of telling other people what to do. I visit Catholic programs all over the world almost constantly, and I find the kind of pastoral sensitivity on the part of many of the religious who are responding to this problem and also our own Caritas organizations and other Catholic organizations, I find a real sensitivity and a real availability to listen to and to accompany people with HIV and AIDS. And that's not just my personal opinion. That was borne out in the discussions that we've had during this week with many of the people living with HIV who are engaged in the Catholic programs responding to the pandemic.
We've also heard religious personnel, including priests and sisters living with HIV themselves, speaking out. What impact do you think this has had?
I think it's an important impact for some, those who wish to speak out about their own situation. And yet I think that there are other religious and priests who are living with HIV, as well as other religious leaders in general from Christian and churches, as well as other faith communities, who prefer not to speak about their own personal situation, but make themselves available for service and for accompaniment of others that live with HIV and AIDS. There's sometimes a tendency from some of the activist groups, both within churches and outside of churches, to reveal everything about their personal lives. For some people, that's important. It's almost like resolving some of the issues that they faced as they became infected with HIV. But for other people, they guard a special dignity and a special privacy themselves. And I think we have to respect the fact that that different people take different approaches to this situation.
Father Bob, you presented a workshop at the Ecumenical Forum with members of the Indian Bishops Conference on how the church there has been responding to the pandemic. Can you tell us more about this best practice report that you've been working on?
Basically, what I studied was the role of the Catholic Bishops Conference of India in trying, first of all, to animate and to sensitize church-related organizations to the grave needs that were presented by HIV and AIDS already in India, and that may worsen as the epidemic continues to spread in India. And then also the kind of capacity building that the Bishops' Conference did with AIDS projects that were sponsored by parishes, by dioceses, by religious orders, and by other Catholic groups. The Bishops' Conference, together with the Catholic Health Association of India and Caritas India, helped these smaller groups to learn how to scale up their services, and then also served in a role of leveraging funding for these groups and helping them to learn how to do evaluation and reporting in a way that they could account for the funding that they received. In fact, now the Bishops' Conference of India has received several grants from the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, TB, and Malaria, grants for TB, for malaria, as well as for HIV and AIDS. On the HIV and AIDS grant, they received money to develop 45 community-based care centers for people with HIV and AIDS that would help them to better access antiretroviral medications that will keep them alive longer and give them a better quality of life.
So you would say that even though the Catholic Church in India is a very small percentage of the population, this work is having a real impact in the fight against AIDS there?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, though the church, Catholic Church, is a very small minority, only about 2% of the population in India, the Catholic Church actually operates over 5,000 hospitals and health clinics in India. So it plays an important role in delivering health services, especially in the rural and the more marginalized marginalized areas, and also in working with the people who are marginalized themselves, some of the indigenous peoples who are not accepted into the regular social system and health system in India. So it plays an important role on healthcare, but also then through Caritas India and the diocesan social service agencies in India, it plays an important role in development to address the issues that make people vulnerable to engage in behaviors that put them at risk for HIV infection. And then finally, it operates many, many schools. And so the Bishops' Conference of India has just launched a huge youth sensitization program in trying to engage more than a million youth to learn about HIV and AIDS and then to commit themselves not to engage in behaviors that will put them at risk of this infection.
So often in developing countries, the church is one of the main providers of care and prevention programs like this for people suffering from HIV and AIDS. And yet this contribution continues to go unrecognized often, doesn't it, by governments and other organizations?
Yes, I think it's very, very regrettable that governments, while they struggle to find out how they can scale up the antiretroviral treatment programs, how they can scale up prevention programs, don't always remember the key role that faith-based organizations play in local societies. Those organizations are there before HIV and AIDS came on the scene, and they'll be there after when hopefully one day we will have a cure or a preventive vaccine for this. And yet governments struggle, and then also often while community groups are very, very important, a lot of times those community groups only engage certain sectors in the population instead of the larger population as the churches and faith-based organizations engage.
Part of this has been the problem of a direct confrontation between the church and secular groups over the use of condoms as a method of prevention. Do you think that this confrontation is beginning to give way to a realization that, in fact, all organizations involved in the struggle against AIDS must work more closely together rather than against each other?
I wish that I could say that this confrontation over prevention is starting to diminish, but regrettably, I don't think it is. The UNAIDS, which is the joint co-sponsoring agency for response to the global situation of HIV and AIDS, talks about needing a multi-pronged approach to prevention. And certainly, Dr. Peter Piot, the head of UNAIDS, in the opening session of the International Conference on AIDS, talked about that once again. And yet, many UN agencies, many governments, and certainly many of the affected populations seem to concentrate only on the promotion of the use of condoms. It's very interesting, though, there are some small voices that are coming from the scientific community now and from the larger society that say, we must also talk about responsibility in sexual and interpersonal relationships. So I think the voices from other sectors besides the Catholic Church are beginning to be heard, but it's very, very hard because there's a great deal of resistance to hearing any talk about responsible sexual behavior.
What else can you do to try and combat this? What do you think is the most important area of action here?
Well, it's interesting. Last night, Caritas Internacionales and the Jesuit community of Mexico convened a meeting of more than 100 of the representatives from different Catholic organizations that are participating in this meeting, in this conference. And we talked about this very issue of how we could get our voices to be heard better. Well, one is I think that we as Catholic groups need to network with each other more and present ourselves as people who have a certain point of view, who have a very valid experience, and be able to talk about that much more. Sometimes we're very splintered among Catholic groups in terms of doing our own work very well, but not sharing that work with each other and not representing ourselves as Catholic organizations in general. At other times, we're a bit too shy about talking about the good things we do. So I think we have to talk more loudly and with one voice about the values that we believe in with regard to responsibility and sexual relationships, and especially about the social values of solidarity and justice and inclusion of people with HIV and AIDS. The second thing is we were reminded during this meeting last night by people living with AIDS who are receiving many benefits from Catholic Church programs and who are themselves engaged in Catholic Church programs that in a way the attacks on the Catholic Church by some of the activist groups and even by some governments in a way that puts us into a real situation situation of accompanying them and suffering together with them. So I think we need both to be more vocal as well as to give a silent witness to the values that we believe in.
I think it's unrealistic for the HIV and AIDS community to think that we will become amoral as people of faith, that we will set aside our teachings and our deeply held convictions. But I also think we have to take the challenge seriously that's been put before us.
Lutheran Bishop Mark Hansen sees this challenge of confronting negative perceptions and prejudices as one of the most important issues facing church leaders in this field.
I listened yesterday to a panel presentation of sociologists and healthcare providers who were not self-identified as people of faith, about how religion and religious communities, religious teachings continue to be an obstacle to the ending of this pandemic. And that room was filled with hundreds of people that came to hear a fairly strong critique of not just Christian religion, but of all religions. And so I think we continue to face the challenge of how are we as people of faith committed to our moral teachings, but how do we confront when those moral teachings also may contribute to the stigmatization of people who live with HIV and AIDS. That's particularly true around human sexuality, our attitudes towards persons who are homosexuals, and our teachings about birth control.
Do you see at this conference any new suggestions of ways to get over this real difficulty, as you say, of public image?
I don't. I heard more critique than constructive suggestions. I think, frankly, we as religious leaders now have to begin to talk among ourselves, that we have, the challenge has been put to us, and now I think we have to begin to speak to one another, not only within our own communions of faith, not only Lutherans talking to Lutherans about our social teachings and Roman Catholics to Roman Catholics and Anglicans to Anglicans and evangelicals to evangelicals and so forth, but I think we need to now come together and say, how do we live with integrity with our own moral teachings, but how do we confront the challenge that both providers and those living with HIV and AIDS have put to us?
Bishop Mark Hansen is president of the Lutheran World Federation, and earlier you heard Father Bob Vitillo, special advisor on HIV and AIDS to the Caritas Internationalis Global Confederation of Catholic Aid and Development Agencies.